From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild, wild world. So keep it tuned right here. What a fascinating segment we have coming up for you this hour. You know, I've mentioned this book, Paranormal Pooch, by Olga Horvath. It really is an amazing book. In fact, I'm proud to say I even wrote the introduction for the book. And just to give you an example, on the back of the book, here's a quote from my introduction. A chill ran down my spine while reading Olga Horvath's Paranormal Pooch. Why? Because her story is so real and her emotions so palpable. Amazingly enough, what she saw and experienced is not extremely rare. Most people just refuse to talk about it. That's why you should read this eerie tale. Perhaps, like me, you are a dog owner, and ask if this can actually happen to any of us. It is a very eye-opening story because it seems that Princess, the purebred toy poodle, was adorable at first, but later on they began to believe the dog was actually demonically possessed. And that's something that we don't talk very often about on this show, and it's fascinating to dig into it tonight. Olga Horvath, welcome to Speaking of Strange.
Hi, Joshua. I'm very happy to be with you.
Oh, it's a great pleasure, and especially because so many people have been asking me about this story, about this book, and we're going to talk about the whole package, in fact, that you have put together with the Energy Shield, things that will help people aside from just exploring your experience. So let's give everybody a bit of a general background. You're joining us from New York, is that right?
That's right.
So tell us how you obtained Princess the Poodle and how this story kind of unfolded for you and your family.
We got the dog 5 years ago. We actually ordered over the internet. I found the site, which was really adorable, and the dog was so pretty, and I just fell in love right there. And I ordered over the internet. So the dog came by airplane from Nebraska, and the moment she came to our home, strange things started happening, and it was so. You know, from the first moment, we just realized that this is not the dog that that we used to have. It was so different from any other dog I ever seen. You know, it was a puppy, so she didn't like to to sleep during the night. She would sleep during the day. She wouldn't eat. She would be very hard to train. So she was at the beginning, we just didn't know what's happening. But because she was puppy, we just gave her more time to adjust, and we told her that this is what's the reason. This is the reason why she's acting strangely. But little by little, you know, she was showing us other signs of behavior that was not normal for the dog. And I don't know if I should go into that right now or...
Well, yeah, let's talk about maybe some of the first things that happened that made you start to seriously think that Princess may be possessed by something. That's a huge leap for a lot of people to take. And when did you start taking this seriously?
When was actually at the end, I guess, because at the beginning we just... We never had any kind of experience like that, so we would always find a logical explanation for everything that happened. And sometimes if we didn't have explanation, we would just, you know, sleep on it and, like, it's going to come up tomorrow or, you know, it's going to – we'll figure this out, why this is happening. So, you know, she would, for example, she would just sit in front of the bathroom door and stare at the door. And she would act like something is in the bathroom, and she was very scared, and nobody was seeing anything but her. So, or, you know, it happened like in the middle of the night that I would just wake up because there was a very strange odor in the room, and I would look toward her, the area where she was sleeping, and there was a milky cloud above the bed where she was sleeping, and it appeared for a few seconds, and then it just it vanished, and I thought that I was imagining, and that's how it started. It was like with very, very strange events that were like coming up more and more often.
Yeah, and it almost seems like as time went on, you began to feel there might have even been a human spirit attached to Princess as well. Is that right?
It's possible. So nobody could actually, nobody knows what kind of spirit was that. But we had a lot of problems with a neighbor who was just next to our apartment. And she would write notes and just slip under the door, and she would complain about the noises that was coming from our apartment. And usually it happened when we were not in the apartment. And she would just say that she would write that she's hearing noises and like stamping on the floor, and it was very loud, and she couldn't sleep. And, you know, we just we thought that something is wrong with her, because we at that time we had very hectic schedule. We would come late, like 7-8 o'clock, just have dinner, go to sleep, and nobody was making any noises. So that was also one of the things, that something was happening, and we were just ignoring the possibility that something paranormal is going on in our apartment. And at that time, I think we were living for about 7-8 years, and nobody complained about any kind of noise. And everything started from the moment when Princess arrived to our apartment. So it was kind of coincidental that everything is happening at that time.
Yeah, and of course now you have this adorable, cute little puppy. Was there a point when you actually began to fear Princess? Was she scaring any of you in the apartment?
I would say at the end, yes, because she was kind of acting weird. There was like a couple of accidents that she was like acting weird, and she was not herself, like. Very crazy noises coming out of her. So that's how it was.
Yeah, and it's just so odd, because I know that people are very excited when they get a new dog. They're trying to learn about the dog, and you're a dog expert. I mean, you actually know a lot about dogs. This was not the first time you'd been around one, right?
As a child, I had many animals, dogs and cats and birds, all sorts of animals. With the dog business, I started approximately about the same time, maybe a few months before we got the dog. And that was actually the reason. And I said, now I'm in dog business and I have to have a dog. It would be kind of odd not to have a dog. So this was one of the reasons why we bought a dog, because I just started dog business.
Yeah.
So everything happened at the same time.
Sure. And so now, was there a point at which you thought about maybe seeing if she could be exercised or cleared in some way? What was the process you started going through discussing with your family how you might resolve this issue?
We didn't talk that much about that, because as time was passing, we were getting into so many things that were kind of negative, and we were getting into so many problems with everything, actually. In the house, like electricity was not working, like emails, I was not getting emails. My Gmail was completely erased. People would call and ask, and I just didn't get any emails. We had a problem with the phones, with the cable. And then, you know, with my husband's job and with my volunteering position, with the school where my daughter was, you know, going to. So we were kind of so much focused on our problems, to clear up our problems, that we just didn't do anything about the dog. And it was kind of ridiculous even to think that dog creates all the problems. So, you know, at that time, and it took only 4 months, we were surrounded with a cloud of negative energy. So basically everything we touched would turn into negative, into some kind of problem. And we just didn't know what's happening.
Yeah, in fact,
and just to accuse dog, it would, you know, who would believe? And we just refused to believe that everything is coming from the dog. So
yeah,
you know, we didn't do anything at that time.
Well, in fact, right here on the back of the book, it says, you know, the husband was abruptly fired from his job. The family was nearly evicted from their apartment. Their daughter was threatened with expulsion from the second grade. Eventually, the husband was stricken with an unexplainable illness and almost lost his life. They were plagued by supernatural forces and came to realize it was not just terribly bad luck. There was something very strange about their new puppy. So pretty soon we're coming up here on our first break, and I want at that point when we come back to also talk about this whole package that you put together, because you have this fascinating device called the Energy Shield, and obviously this is something that can be used to neutralize some of this negative energy that you've been talking about, and of course on our website, speakingofstrange.com, we will have a link there, and that link will allow listeners to not only learn more about the book, but also the Energy Shield package and everything that you put together. Before we take this break, let me ask you, though, now that you have gone public with your story, are you getting contacted by other people who have had similar experiences?
Yes, this is what's happening now. People are more and more talking about similar kind of things, and sometimes even poodle, like my dog was poodle. I have people who had similar experiences with their poodle, which is kind of also kind of odd, but it's also refreshing because I see that I'm not the only one and that people want to talk about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll discuss that a little bit more and talk about the Energy Shield as well. I'm Joshua P. Warren, talking right now with Olga Horvat. She is the author of Paranormal Pooch, a true story of the dog who healed one family. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the program where the unusual becomes usual, and we'll be back right after this. Texas. Speaking of strange, and I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Thanks for spending your evening with us. And I'm talking right now with Olga Horvat. She is the author of Paranormal Pooch. And, you know, if you are a person who has owned a pet that starts behaving oddly at some point, maybe you can relate to some of the experiences Olga has had. And let me tell you, I implore you to go to her website. There is a link at speakingofstrange.com. And that it's a page off of the royaldogsgallery.com site. And also, if you just go to paranormalpooch.com, that will point you in the right direction as well. And keep in mind, also in this book, there are interviews with well-known paranormal experts like Lorraine Warren, Nathan Robert Brown, Dasty Rainbolt. We go on here to wisdom and advice from spiritual leaders, including Deepak Chopra and Jack Canfield. I mean, there is a lot of information in this book. TheEnergyShield.com, that's something we're going to talk about soon. But before we get to that, so, Olga, has anybody contacted you since the book has come out who had an almost identical experience with a poodle? Do you think there's anything special about poodles in particular, or do the experiences seem to be kind of spread across all breeds?
I wouldn't say exactly poodle, but maybe because Princess was poodle, so they found this very interesting combination. So maybe that's the reason why they contacted me. But, yes, I've got a few emails with, you know, I'm just having one in front of me, and she said, I just finished reading your book, Paranormal Pooch. It really touched me. I, too, was the owner of a small little poodle who was psychic. He often saw spirits and would howl at them. And then she wrote other things. She didn't go into details like how deeply the dog was possessed, but she found my story pretty touching. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So it's happening. I mean, more and more people are talking about that.
This is going to be a great movie or TV program one day. I can just tell. I mean, you're going to have Animal Planet or one of these places ringing your phone because this is just the perfect type of story that will eventually be illustrated in that way. And, of course, we'll let folks buy the book to kind of figure out what happened toward the end. But one thing you learned from this experience was that it's helpful to have tools on hand that will allow you to deal better with some of these energies. And that brings us to this device called the Energy Shield. Now, what is the Energy Shield?
That's a device that will support and balance your body's own magnetic field, and at the same time, it protects you from negative energy. And it's good both for people and for pets. And there are three things very important what it does to you. It protects you from electromagnetic waves, from computers, microwaves, telephones, radios, all electrical devices, from negative people and harmful thoughts and emotions of others, including our own negative thoughts, even our own stress. And the third thing, it protects us from evil spirits, from negative energy around that could attach themselves to our body or to the body of an animal. So there are like three things. And it acts as passive psychic screener. So it not only absorbs the negative energy, it also converts into positive energy. So, and you can keep it in the pocket, in the bag, or you can just have as a necklace around your neck because it's a pendant, actually.
You know, a few years ago, I tested out a similar device, and I was surprised by the results that I got. In fact, I took the device that I had and took Kirlian photos of it. And for those who don't know what a Kirlian photo is, you basically take an object and you charge it with electricity while the object is directly on a photographic plate. You can also just do this with the person's hand while they are holding an object. And what I found over and over again was that when a person had a Kirlian photo of a hand taken without the device, you got just kind of a typical, somewhat weak field around the body. But holding the device, it was big and bright and pronounced, and I could not come up with the conventional explanation. So I would imagine that your device, the Energy Shield, can probably create a similar effect. And so I presume that you probably wear one of these every day. And has your life improved dramatically?
Not only improved, but, you know, we are so much different as a family, and, like, what we do now, it's just completely another kind of style life that we have. I wouldn't say just because of that. It's just complete experience that we went through, and everything that I've read, the books that actually open up my mind, and everything that I learned from that experience, I think left an input and just changed us for better. But device definitely helps to protect you from all that I just mentioned, all these three types of negative energies that are all the time around us. So, and we even don't see them or don't feel them, but they are.
You know, one thing that is really interesting about your book, Paranormal Pooch, is that, you know, you read the back of the book, and it talks about the negative stuff that was attached to Princess and some of the bad luck and the demonic possession. And yet at the very top of the front cover, it says a true story of the dog who healed one family. And there's a picture of her with the rainbow. So how did all this negativity end up eventually healing your family?
The healing effect took place like a couple of years after that. I would say that she gave us a wake-up call to raise our consciousness and to rediscover our spirituality, because we were not really aware of many things, and we were not religious, but we were not also spiritual. So she just opened up our mind, and we started thinking about so many other things that are around us. For example, we are now meditating. I don't eat meat, so I'm vegetarian. I changed the structure of my business, which was very fashion-orientated, dog business, but, you know, selling products, fashion products. Now I do everything holistic and, like, energy wellness products. It just changed our style of life. The whole journey was really struggle at the beginning, but I think through that struggle we learned so much, and just discovered the better way of living.
Yeah.
So that's why I said that she actually helped us to, she pointed us into right direction, what to do and what not to do anymore.
Yeah.
So I guess.
Well, you know, we're almost out of time, and even though, of course, we'll have the link there at speakingofstrange.com, or people can also go to paranormalpooch.com to get started. Is there anything else you'd like to tell listeners who might want to learn more about you and your work?
Definitely. You know, there's so many people who have problems with dogs, especially dogs. Aggression. Aggression is one of the problem, and I've read all the time newspapers, internet, some dogs are even put down because of the aggression. It's one of the reason could be possession, and people don't think about that, but the energy, that negative energy, could really get into you, and it can make them do like crazy things. So what I would suggest, that they could go to my website. I have a list of paranormal investigators who are just working with animals, and they can help them if they have any problem, because there's so many neglected animals, and just shelters are full of them. Like, millions of dogs are euthanized every year for so many reasons, but one of the reasons is because they don't know how to handle anymore the animal. Something is wrong, and, you know, attacking the owners. So it's really sad. So what I would just like to tell everybody who has some problem with animals, just go to my website, Paranormal Experts. There is the button with the paranormal investigators. Just go there and you may contact any of them. They can give you advice what to do. Just to save the animal because it's so sad.
Yeah.
So many are euthanized every year.
Well, Olga, let me congratulate you on this fantastic book. It's been a great honor to have written the introduction for it. I hope everybody will visit your website, look at what you have, and it's great. Paranormal Pooch by Olga Horvat. Thanks so much for being on the show tonight, Olga. It's been a great pleasure. So, folks, we'll come back soon with more amazing and unusual and wild stories. I'll get back to the one on Einstein's brain. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Joshua P. Warren, discussing high strangeness out to all you high strangers listening around the globe. Thanks for being with us this evening in the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor, investigator Shelley Wright. We're about to talk about the strange journey of Einstein's brain. But before, you know, there was something that we were discussing earlier, Shelley, that I wanted to touch on, because there at Wright's Coin Shop, you guys deal in a lot of precious metals.
Yes.
And yet there are people who are very uncertain about the precious metals business, and they're getting on the internet and ordering stuff, and it turns out to be a pretty rotten deal.
It does.
So what do you want to say to those people out there who are interested in doing what I do, what Forrest does, and that is getting our metals from you?
Right. Come and see me and talk to me and find out what you should be doing. I do not work on commission. None of us work on commission. And we are going to tell you it's a family business, and we're going to tell you the truth. We're going to tell you exactly everything that we know. We're going to share our experience and what you need to look out for. And there are things that you don't even think about when you're on the other side of the counter, things that you just need to know for later. I mean, it's more than just buying it. It's also what happens later when you decide to sell it. That's just as important. And people who are on the internet, you know, these people, they will not be straight with you. They will not tell you, hey, you really want to stay away from this because of this reason or that. And, you know, I have people that call me all the time and say, hey, I think it would be really cool to have this. And yeah, it would be really cool. But you know, it's not such a good idea. You know, I'll get them anything that they want. It's just, you know, this is what you need to think about for later.
What's your phone number there?
Our phone number is 828-298-5402.
That is 828-298-5402.
Yes.
And we're working on getting you a website up there as well.
Yes. So.
Well, maybe what you guys need to do there is put some weird stuff on display as an attraction. And how would you like to have Einstein's brain on display?
Oh, I think that would be great.
Wouldn't that be perfect in the museum that I have?
Yes, I think so.
And you've probably heard of this place called the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's the coolest, this medical museum that has all these strange, odd, macabre,
gruesome and ghoulish things.
Oh, it's great.
I've never been there, but I went to a similar museum. It was the National Pathology Museum at Walter Reed Hospital, and I don't think it exists anymore because this was 2001 when I went there, and I believe they've changed it around. But you walk in, and the first thing they let you do is hold a human brain in your hand if you want. Some people wouldn't like that.
What is it, like 3 pounds or something?
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, it's about the size of, like, I guess two of your fists put together, and I even have like a picture of me holding this brain up from my head. But at the Mutter Museum, you know, they have all this ghoulish, weirdo medical stuff. It would be nightmarish for some people to go in. And so right now they are putting on display for the first time pieces of Albert Einstein's brain. And I knew that Albert Einstein's brain was preserved, but I didn't know there was controversy over it. And apparently, they say it's actually slices of his brain, thin slices. And they have had a strange journey since Einstein's death in 1955 at age 76. He died from an abdominal aneurysm. The pathologist who completed Einstein's autopsy was a guy named Thomas Harvey, and he removed Einstein's brain as part of a standard autopsy procedure, but then he didn't put it back. And he later said that Einstein's son had given him permission to take the scientist's brain, but the Einstein family disputed that claim. This doctor, the pathologist named Harvey, he lost his job over this Einstein scandal, but you know what? He kept the brain. And over the years, he would send portions to neuroscientists trying to understand if there was something about Einstein's brain structure that made him so brilliant. And it's now some of those very thin sections that are on display at the Mutter Museum there in Philadelphia. And, of course, I guess maybe this whole scandal is over. I'm not sure. But it says that he gifted a box of 46 of these slides, Harvey did. And so now apparently you can go and look at them. And I'm not sure what all they've discovered. It says here in this particular report, and this is a report from LiveScience.com, by the way. It says various researchers have uncovered out of the ordinary features in the brain, including extra support cells called glial cells in some regions involved in complex thinking. But human anatomy is notoriously individualistic, and it's tough to say whether any given aspect of Einstein's brain structure made him a genius, was the result of his genius, or was just a quirk. It's kind of weird, you know, when you start looking at these issues, it's sort of like taking a television and popping the top off and trying to find the little people inside. You find a bunch of wires and capacitors and tubes, but where are the people dancing around, singing, having adventures? We don't quite grasp that mind-body-environment connection yet. And, you know, some people used to believe thousands of years ago that your thought and consciousness came from your heart instead of your brain. I'm not sure how they really figured that, because you get hit in the head, you behave a little differently. You might not have that problem if you just have a heart attack. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a crime story here about the Hamburglar. Yes, the Hamburglar, and also why a dog in Australia is in trouble. Apparently, he likes to drive. I'm not kidding. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, the Dark 30 Hour. And that's when we get into some of the news that is really, outrageous, controversial, not for the easily offended. In fact, you know, I got some negative emails from our last show, Forrest.
Really?
Yes, because some people heard one of the stories in particular, I won't say which one, and said, oh, this was just awful.
Our last live show or last recorded show?
Our last recorded show, yeah.
Okay.
But you see, the thing is, how many times do I say during the Dark 30 Hour?
It's not for the kiddies. It's not for the offended.
Yes.
Not for the weak of heart.
It's like, turn the radio off.
You've been warned.
Yes. How many times can I warn you? And we don't just talk about this stuff because we're necessarily just making fun of everything. Some of it's awful. It's sad. It's despicable. It's crazy.
But it's stuff that does not get reported anywhere else.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, as
I said, we'll have some fun with it, but...
Well, yeah, otherwise you have to cry at some of the stuff.
Exactly.
And as I said earlier in the program, I think that this show demonstrates the summit of mankind's enlightenment and the pit of his dark depravity. Okay, we take you through the whole full spectrum, and that's why it's such an epic program. Yeah, so just keep in mind, and next hour, you know, we'll warn you again, but it's not for everybody. Before I get into some more stories, one other thing I'll throw out here is I'm not a big fan of the winter, as I think you guys probably know. I'd be happy to jump on an airplane November 1st and come back about April 1st and just spend the winter in the Caribbean or something. So I'm probably going to be doing some traveling in the winter, especially to warmer climates. And I have a new program that I've put together just in time for 2012. It's I think it's going to be called, I'm not sure yet, but something like, you know, 2012, The Raw Truth. And it's going to be like a two-hour thing. I already have some venues that I'm working with on this. But if you want to have me come to your town, And maybe, you know, I'll put on the program. We'll have some fun. We'll do some investigations. Who knows what will happen. Just be sure to visit joshuapwarren.com, and you can email me there. There is no period after the P at joshuapwarren.com, and maybe I can bring my little dog and pony show to your town. So here is a story from Iowa. You know, nothing's supposed to happen in Iowa, right? That's a bland, I don't mean that in a negative way now, but you hear all these crazy stories about Florida. It's like most of our dark 30 stories seem to come from Florida. But in Iowa, everybody just seems to be well-behaved there.
You might hear a story of like a cornfield getting knocked out by a tornado every now and then.
Yeah. And so, but now we have the Hamburglar. The Hamburglar is on the loose there. They say the Hamburglar was a 21-year-old man who broke into McDonald's.
Rubble, rubble.
He broke in, made himself a nice meal, and took a beverage and left. And that's it.
Nice meal?
Right. Well, I guess the phrasing can be debated there. But that's all the guy did. They say on the video footage that they see him grilling hamburger patties, using a deep fryer to make French fries. I mean, this guy knew his way around the McDonald's kitchen. And so he now has turned himself in, and they're trying to figure out what to do with this guy. He's facing one count of third-degree burglary, one count of fourth-degree criminal mischief, and one count of fifth-degree theft. A third, a fourth, and a fifth-degree something.
Were there any second-degree burns in there from the fryer?
I would be afraid to mess with that, man. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go in there messing around with some McDonald's fryer. And let's see here. Another story will slip in before we go to break. This is from Australia. A dog has allegedly been spotted driving a mobile home down the street in Australia after learning how to drive by observing his owner. Woodley, a 2-year-old German coolie, whatever that is, allegedly took the mobile home for a spin while his owner, Richard McCormick, was in a store. Quote, I came out and I saw the bus going down the road. I couldn't believe it, end quote, McCormick said. This is not the first time that Woodley has taken the wheel, apparently. This dog has a habit. Says he sits next to me when I'm driving in the driver's seat when I'm not, and the handbrake is on the dashboard. He's seen me release it. He's copying me. He knows what to do. Here's the clincher. You know where this happened? Darwin, Australia. I think some evolution is going on, and we need to be frightened. If dogs are learning to drive, next thing you know, apes are going to learn how to make bow and arrows. And then we're screwed. We're going to come back. It'll be the Dark 30 Hour, digging into the real crazy and sometimes nasty stuff, and an interview, a report with Commander Y. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.